Going into episode 37 of Personalities at Carey, we are in conversation with Dustin Weil. Dustin is specifically interested in humanitarian logistics. He used to work for a food bank before and thought that he could do things better if he got an MBA from WP Carey. He's concentrating in supply chain and business analytics. He worked for the Association of Arizona Food Banks over the summer. Now let's get right into our conversation with Dustin Weil.
Okay, we are at episode 37 and I'm sitting here with Dustin Weil. Is that right?
Oh, Weil.
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 Okay.
There's W in here.
It is a W. It's a German.
It's a German last name. Okay. All right, so let's get started with our regular first question, which is I just ask you about your background, where you come from, what you did before coming to school, and why you chose to do an MBA.
Let's see, my background, where I come from, what I did before I came here, and why I chose an MBA. I grew up moving around a lot. Mm-hmm. My parents were both itinerant academics, so they went where the teaching jobs were. And as a child, I moved around with them. They also did a lot of international work, research in Latin America, and moving to go to conferences and have different teaching engagements. So when I was growing up, I lived in a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. But it seems like Minnesota, which is in the north of the United States, is where I kept moving back to. So New York, Minnesota, Massachusetts, Maine, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Minnesota. So I really consider the Twin Cities, especially Minneapolis, to be my hometown, if anywhere is. I think that traveling so much when I was growing up, though, did have a big impact on my worldview and also my sense of who I am. So I became very comfortable at adapting to different situations, but never felt quite at home anywhere. And I think that that's still true. I don't see that as a problem necessarily. It's just kind of the way my life is. I know I've talked with other people who grew up in the same small town. They knew the same set of friends from the time they were toddlers through high school. That was not my experience. One thing I can tell you about myself is that I've always enjoyed puzzles. Even when I was a small child, I liked jigsaw puzzles and games where you had to try to figure something out. And so I think that maybe it's in my genes or something. Anyway, it's a pattern that was established early on that whatever I do with my life professionally and with hobbies, I like to be trying to learn things and solve puzzles of some kind. Something else that I can tell you about myself is that, again, early in childhood, I was on the margins at times, on the margins of situations where there was extreme wealth. But I was also often on the margins of extreme poverty, and seeing both of those things really had an impact on me. So by the time I was probably 6 or 7 years old, I knew that I wanted to be doing something to help people, especially connecting people with those basic resources like food and water and shelter. So bringing that together, I studied nonprofit management, and I did work before I moved here to Arizona with a series of small nonprofits, food shelves or food pantries, also one organization that was getting groceries to people who were stuck in their homes, mm-hmm. which especially in the winter in Minnesota, getting out to get groceries is a major challenge for a lot of people. So these are things in my background that brought me here to the MBA program, because I recognized that I wanted to learn skills and establish connections and credentials that would help me do similar work better. Mm-hmm. And maybe on a larger scale and at a higher level in the future. So I came to WP Carey specifically thinking, yeah, I want to learn more about supply chain and logistics. I want to interact with people from all over the world and figure out how can I take what I already know and amplify it so I can have even a better impact later. One other thing to tell you, and I know this is a lot of things, but before I ever started working in nonprofit management, I was really interested in the performing arts. So I have a background as an actor. I was a radio host for a while. I'm an amateur musician, not very good, but I really enjoy it.
What do you play?
Piano.
Okay.
Someone asked me yesterday whether I sing, and the answer is yes, but very badly. So I don't think people want to listen to me. As an undergrad, I studied language, humanities, fine arts, and that really informs my perspective even now in business school. I see this might seem like a stretch, but I see an Excel spreadsheet as being analogous to a musical composition, where there's a kind of elegant simplicity if you can bring the right elements together in a harmonious way. And there's some sense of purpose. You're trying to drive results, but there also, for me at least, is kind of a guiding aesthetic sense that also matters. And I think that if I ever go back and do more with performing arts, probably what I've studied as a business student will also translate somehow and inform my approach there.
Mm-hmm. So given that you really want to work for these food chefs, is that something you're going to go back and do after your graduation?
It's a good question. At this point, I sort of have three major areas of ambition that in my mind are connected with each other. But I can imagine doing some kind of humanitarian logistics. And it wouldn't have to be with food, but it certainly could be with, I think, World Food Program is an amazing organization, or Doctors Without Borders. So I would love to just get involved and try to help with logistics and supply chain on maybe an international scale, helping people in refugee camps and disaster areas. This would be directly, I would say, building on my professional work in the past, but really it's a different scale and also a different probably level of severity. So the stakes would be really high. And for me, that's exciting. I mean, that motivates me. Something else I can imagine I might really enjoy is doing some kind of consulting, especially if it were consulting work that had a social impact focus. The trouble is, and I know a lot of the other students in our program are finding this too, recruiters are not coming to WP Carey right now looking for students to fill those roles. So I haven't given up on looking for a consulting gig, but I think that I need to be not waiting for them to come to me, but reaching out and networking. So I'll be working on that. And then the other thing I can imagine doing is like nonprofit leadership. And I've actually studied for that before.
Okay. So that's a very noble cause you're going after. So
maybe, but I mean, sometimes people say, oh, you're so altruistic, but I don't see it that way because for me, this is what I enjoy. It's what's interesting. It's what makes me want to jump up and work really hard. So I'm actually getting a lot out of it.
Okay. And then since you came to WP Carey, maybe you had some expectations out of the MBA program. Do you think the WP Carey program has met all your expectations so far?
I think that... So one thing about an MBA program that's different from a lot of other master's degree programs is that we really cover a lot. And so I think that a strength of this program and most MBA programs is breadth, but maybe not so much depth. I appreciate that especially in the first year, we were able to really have a quick sampling of, you know, accounting, finance, marketing, supply chain, learn a little bit about a lot of different areas. For me, there's always a little bit of reluctance to move too quickly, though, because I also want to dig deeper. And so there's a trade-off. We cover a lot of things, and that's preparing us to be, I hope, effective administrators and organizational leaders in the future. But there's a part of me that really wants to dwell or linger in each of those areas and learn more. So I don't think it's a flaw with the program, but it's just kind of the nature of being an MBA that you have to move really quickly. I kind of expected that, but I think that that's been even more true than I thought that I would be able to take more time to learn things more thoroughly before moving on. And for me, the pace of the program has felt frantic. On the other hand, I'm able to look back and think, wow, we have learned so much about so many things in the past year. It's been really amazing. The faculty here, for the most part, is great. There's many professors who I would just... you know, recommend to any student. I would love to take more classes with them. So the quality of the instruction has been good. The staff that supports us here at WP Carey is outstanding, I feel. And one thing that really exceeds my expectation is the quality of the connections among students. I didn't really know what to think before I came. I had some prejudices about what an MBA program would be like, that it would be kind of cutthroat and people might be a little superficial. That hasn't been the case here at WP Carey at all. It's such a very smart and experienced and diverse, but also a very compassionate and just loving group of people. I have benefited so much from the interactions with classmates here, and I feel extremely grateful. I just can't overstate that. So that's been wonderful.
Okay. I echo your thoughts with all of that, what you said. Anything outside of academia or curriculum, some of the clubs that you joined or are part of that you want to talk about?
Sure. This is also kind of a mixed blessing maybe, but I find that I have trouble saying no when people ask me to get involved with things, especially if it's something that I'm interested in, something that I would like to support. So I've been extremely busy, not just with the academics here, but with extracurricular activities too. Of course, there's Supply Chain Club and other sort of academic-related clubs like that, and I've participated quite a lot. But I'm actually co-president of the Toast Devils Club, which mm-hmm. is the club for public speaking. It's inspired by Toastmasters, but not really affiliated with Toastmasters International. So that's just a great way to get together with other students to work on our public speaking skills together, also bond and learn about each other. I've found that really rewarding. I've been very involved with the consulting club. You might know that I've been helping lead weekly workshops, mm-hmm. and that's been a great learning experience for me and also a good way to give back and help other students in the community. As my part-time campus job, I'm a peer coach. So I spend a lot of times in these team rooms sitting with different students and helping them figure out how they move forward. And that's been I think it's been a good way for me to help people, but it's also been a really nice learning experience, not only because I need to be developing my own career advancement skills, but it's been just mind expanding to talk with dozens and dozens of students in the MBA program and undergraduate business students and specialized master's students here at WP Carey to kind of hear what they're thinking about, what the challenges are, what they would like to accomplish over the course of their careers. Mm-hmm. So I've done a lot of that. And then I haven't had a lot of time for hobbies, what I would call hobbies, but I still do a lot of visual art when I get a chance. I play piano sometimes at home, and I actually have a little bit of a social life, and I just got married a few weeks ago. So
congratulations.
Thank you. So I've been keeping very busy.
Okay. So when you came in, you said you were interested in the supply chain. Did you add on a concentration after coming in, or are you sticking with supply chain?
I am a supply chain concentration student, but I'm also doing business analytics, which is something I knew very little about before I moved here. Supply chain, I was actually working in a supply chain role immediately before I came to WP Carey, but without the benefit of any kind of formal supply chain education. So in that situation, I was sort of the logistics and procurement expert by default, because no one else, it's like I didn't know very much, but I knew a little bit more than the people around me. And so because of that, somehow I was thrust into the position of needing to make a lot of decisions quickly about how we allocated spending and worked with different vendors and different donors, and then managing warehousing and distribution logistics. So I ended up learning a lot of that on the fly, and sometimes making mistakes and doing things badly. I have thought a lot over the past year with some regret about, oh, if only I knew 3 years ago what I know now, I could have done things better. But I think that having that experience first before I came to the MBA program did prime me to really appreciate the value of what we're learning in the classroom, logistics and procurement and everything else. And also it kind of gave me a little bit of a head start, because even though I haven't necessarily studied the methods and the techniques before, I really understand how we can apply a lot of what we're learning. Like right now in this data-driven quality management class, when we're talking about improving processes and squeezing out the variability, like I get that, because I've been in situations where there's been a lot of variability and the cost has been apparent. Mm-hmm. So in the past, I didn't know how to deal with that very well, but I hope in the future I'll be more effective. Data analytics. Yeah, again, this is something I knew that it was out there. I knew I had heard people talk about big data and machine learning, but I didn't really know how that was applied. But I love that. It's a wonderful concentration. I think that it pairs very nicely with supply chain. I think that they can supplement each other nicely. But beyond that, it's just interesting in its own right. And I would say this is a particularly perfect moment in history for us as people early in our careers to be studying data analytics. Because in the next 10, 15, 20 years, I think there are going to be amazing opportunities to transform the way business is done and improve the quality of people's lives using some of these methods.
Yeah. And of the courses you've taken so far, do you want to recommend a particular course, maybe your favorite course so far?
Yeah, I've got a few. So Uday Kulkarni, who taught one of the core classes, which was an introduction to business analytics, is for me just one of the greatest professors I've ever had. And that says a lot, because I've had so many wonderful teachers over the years, but he really is up near the top of the list. I think not everyone will be as interested in the topic as I was, but I found that just to be, if you think of kind of a ratio of the effort you put in and the value you get out, like that class was excellent. Sure, I had to work in there, but it wasn't like a painful ordeal, and I got so much out of it. So that's a class that I would recommend to anyone. I thought strategic procurement with Michaela Pulivu was really good. For some people, that class may have been more review, but for me, it was really helping fill in some of the gaps in my experience. And I thought she was a very good teacher. Also, decision modeling with Professor Byers. It was a difficult class. I had to work very hard. I was lucky because I had a strong team. But at the end of that, I was like, wow. So I worked really hard, but I just learned to use Excel so much better. Mm-hmm. And it really helped me think about taking complicated real-world problems and coming up with some kind of model to help sort of boil it down to the essential elements and then play with things to figure out like what the benefits would be of choosing one course of action over another.
Okay. And then how did you go about getting your internship last year?
It's an unusual story in my case. I really wanted to do a summer internship with World Food Program, which for those of you listening who don't know, this is an international organization that basically gets food to people in really extreme food insecure areas. So I had a lot of conversations with an acquaintance who lives in Cairo, Egypt, and is involved in supply chain and procurement for World Food Program for the Middle East. So right now, Syria is a hot spot. There are other places too. And so I was hopeful that they would be able to offer me some kind of a supply chain role for the summer. I did get a lot of encouragement and a lot of advice and useful information. But it got to be about February last year, and still there was no internship offer. And I decided, you know what, I can't put all my eggs in this basket. I can't wait. I need to try to find something else. The way I ended up finding my internship was, it sounds kind of crazy, and it was a little bit bold, but I did some Google research just to find out what was happening here in Arizona with nonprofit organizations and government agencies trying to address hunger locally. And I found out about an organization called the Association of Arizona Food Banks. And as I looked on their website and read about some of the projects that they had helped lead, I thought this would be a really great learning experience for me. So they had not posted any kind of, you know, looking for an intern, nothing like that. But I found the contact information for their executive director, and I sent her an email and basically said, here's who I am. I've been stalking your organization online, and you're probably not looking for an MBA intern, but I think I could add real value, and I'd love to work with you. I need a paid internship, and this is the time frame. If you think something might work out, please let me know. Even if not, I still would like to learn more about your organization. She did not respond to that email directly, but she passed it to the director of field operations for their organization, who did reach out. And so one thing led to another, and eventually they did give me a paid internship. It was amazing. I ended up helping with, it's an enterprise that's jointly managed by 6 different nonprofit organizations. Well, mostly 5 nonprofit organizations and then some affiliated partners to rescue or salvage produce that would be going to landfill and getting it to hungry people throughout the United States instead. And it's on a very large scale. It's something like 40 million pounds of produce per year. So a lot of transportation and shipping logistics, and also trying to help. In my internship, I focused a lot on helping people in the different organizations communicate better with each other, since they have to collaborate across the organizational boundaries. Really, it was a great learning experience, very inspiring to be working with that group of people who are so mission-driven, trying to end hunger. And I'm hopeful, I don't know, but I'm hopeful that the contribution I made during those 12 weeks will also help rescue some food and feed some people.
Nice. That's some great advice for anybody who's like just waiting for an internship opportunity to show up. And they could just go out and, you know, reach out to people.
Sometimes it works.
Yeah.
I mean, and what's the worst that would happen? They would say no, or be like, who do you think you are? But yeah, and in my case, it actually turned into a very nice internship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we're just trying to learn from each other. So I just want to ask you this. You may or may not answer this, but do you have any decisions in your life that you think were the best decisions you've ever made? And then maybe there's a worst one where you regret it?
Yeah. Well, Right now, I feel like the best decision I ever made was proposing to my now wife, Katie. Yeah, I feel so lucky to just be in that life partnership with someone who I love and respect and enjoy as much as I do. And she's so good for me. But it wasn't an easy decision. We had been together for a while. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was definitely the right call for me to make. And I feel so lucky that she said yes. Mm-hmm. So that was one. I also feel like moving here to get the MBA was a good decision. It was not an easy decision to make. There was some sacrifice involved and lots of uncertainty, but it's turned out to be a really beautiful and valuable experience. So I'm happy about that. Bad decisions. I don't know. I look back and there are some decisions that I have really mixed feelings about. So when I was an undergrad, I was not thinking in terms of what can I study now that will help me 10 or 20 years from now. I was thinking much shorter term, like what am I passionate about? What do I enjoy? What am I good at? And just sort of jump into that. And so that ended up meaning taking a lot of classes in music, studying language. I spent a lot of my undergraduate career abroad living in Europe. And I don't think it was a bad decision because I had a lot of good experiences. But what ended up happening, and maybe this should not have been a surprise, but I graduated as an undergrad right at around 2008 when the economy was collapsing. Mm. And guess what? Nobody wanted to hire an Italian studies major. Mm. Like, it didn't matter grades or, you know, where you'd been or what you could say. Like, that degree was not valuable for getting a job. And so I ended up having a lot of really menial jobs and trying to work my way up again, coming back to school. So there was a heavy cost. And I think that if I could go back in time and give my teenage self some advice, it would just be not necessarily don't make that decision, but if you're choosing this path, choose it deliberately, thinking about what the long-term implications are, because back at the time, I really wasn't.
Mm. Okay. So yeah, here are some very light questions. You don't have to think too hard to answer.
Sure.
So just want to get to know you at a personal level. So okay. Do you have a favorite movie that you like to watch over and over again or want to recommend to people?
Yeah, I have not watched this lately. I like a lot of different movies, but Buena Vista Social Club. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know, this is a documentary about a group of Cuban musicians from the old days who get back together. And I love the music. It's really interesting to see the footage of Havana and these, you know, these people working together and recording. And I would recommend that. And I would watch it like probably 5 times in a row if I weren't so busy with classes. So
is it a lot of like Cuban music or?
Yeah. So it's not contemporary. It's really like, I would say Afro-Cuban/Latin jazz, mm-hmm, kind of Cuban music, the kind that was more popular in the 1950s and 1960s. But this, mm-hmm, film was, I think it was recorded in the 1990s, maybe. Mm-hmm. Probably, I think that's right. Like probably the mid 90s. We could check. But basically, it's just this wonderful music. I think really, yeah. I don't even know what to say about it. But the music is great, and then also just learning about the personalities and seeing people work together. So Buena Vista Social Club, that's like required watching for the holiday break.
And what about a TV show? Do you have a favorite one?
I don't know if it's a favorite, but I just started watching a new series that I didn't know about. It's called Flight of the Conchords. Mm-hmm. And we're only 2 episodes in, so I'm not really endorsing it because maybe it's terrible, like starting the episode, but I really like the first 2 episodes.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's gonna be great. They only have 2 seasons, right?
I think it's only 2 seasons. Yeah.
And then they have some specials coming up. So
I didn't even know that. So that's good news.
Yeah. Yeah, those two guys went on to like do stuff in movies and all that. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like the way they put their lyrics into those songs. Yeah,
really enjoying it so far.
Okay. What about a favorite genre of music or favorite artist?
I listen to a lot of classical music and a lot of jazz. The classical music, and I'm a piano player, so that probably, you know, I probably have some bias, but like I'll say that my favorite classical piano player is Mitsuko Uchida, especially when she's playing Mozart. For jazz, my favorite piano player is probably Thelonious Monk. He's not around anymore, but I really have very diverse, like a lot of different music that I listen to, but those are things that come to mind.
Mm-hmm. And do you do a lot of reading? If you have a favorite book to recommend?
I used to do a lot of reading. Now that I'm in an MBA program, there just isn't much time for pleasure reading anymore. But yeah, I could recommend, let's see, I would say for people who have not read The Elements of Style by Strunk and White, that's a nice book about writing. There's also a book called Bird by Bird that's about writing that I like. Another book about writing called Writing Down the Bones by Natalie Goldberg. Okay, quick segue. I'll just mention, sure. I used to want to be a writer. That was, you know, in an earlier phase of life, I thought, oh, I ought to be a novelist because then I can tell people what I really think and also give myself some cover because it'll be quote unquote fiction. So those are all books about writing that I like. I really like William Styron as an author. I think The Color Purple by Alice Walker is very good. And I also like her poetry. So many books. I don't know.
That's a good list to start with, I guess. Yeah. For people who have not read all those books.
It's not necessarily the very best or my all-time favorites, but those are all things I would recommend.
Okay. And if you got a chance to meet a person in history that you'd like to get to know at a personal level, talk to them over coffee or dinner, who would you choose?
That's a good question. Well, this might sound, I don't know how it would sound, but I would like to get career advice from Gandhi. I think he could set me straight probably because I have some, sometimes I get, you know, I think I know what I want to do, but then there's a lot of, in my own mind, there's a lot of noise. And I think maybe talking with him could sort of help me boil it down to the two or three things I really care most about and think about a good path forward.
Is that the lawyer side of him or after that?
I don't know.
Sure. Do you have any pet peeves you can tell us about?
Pet peeves. I don't like the way a lot of people drive here in Phoenix. Mm. It just seems like so much unnecessary lane changing. Like, I would really like it if people would just sort of know their driver profile, have a realistic sense of their skill level, think about whether they're in a hurry or not, and then just like pick a lane and drive appropriately. But you get these people who are going back and forth all the time, these slow pokes in the fast lane, and then these people who are in such a hurry and they have to like go weave back and forth. Mm. And I don't like that very much.
Is this compared to like Minnesota or?
Yeah, so in Minnesota, I have pet peeves about the way people drive there too, but they're different pet peeves. So in Minnesota, it's one of those places where people are passive aggressively nice. And so you like, everyone will come to a stop sign and just sit there. Because like everyone's like, no, you go. And then that's kind of annoying too.
But I don't think you've been to like a New York or LA traffic.
Oh, well, I've traveled in those places, but I haven't had to drive there much.
Okay. Anything else in terms of pet peeves?
Pet peeves. You know, if people if people are unkind, if people are disrespectful, if people are cruel, that really bothers me. It's actually more than a pet peeve. That really gets to me. I am okay with people having different points of view and disagreeing. In fact, I've found that some of my most fulfilling experiences have been in settings where people are clashing with each other, but clashing in a way that creates good energy. Yeah, you know,
respect among them.
Yeah. And so if people are just petty, you know, and disrespectful or try to make other people feel bad, I don't like that.
Okay. So coming back to what you want to do in the future, right after graduation, I kind of got a feeling that you're trying to get into the World Food Program or...
That's a good example of I think, what could be a great employer for me. But really, I'm trying not to think too much about the job title or, you know, even the category of the organization. Like, is it a for-profit? Is it a non-profit? And keeping my focus instead on the impact. Mm-hmm. Because I know I really want to be helping people, helping connect people with resources, helping teams of people work together better with each other. And so I'm trying to remain open to a variety of possibilities and see which doors are going to be open for me and not get too focused on, oh, it has to be consulting or it has to be, you know, an international aid organization like that.
So do you have a location that you've narrowed down to, or are you open to move anywhere?
Neither of those extremes. I think that there is a list of locations that would be acceptable, and some of them would probably be preferable. Now that I've been married for 3 weeks, I can't just make this decision alone mm-hmm. anymore. So I want to be thinking also about where Katie would enjoy living mm-hmm. and where we would like to be together. But I would be really open to living internationally. I've spent a lot of my life outside of the United States, and I'm open to doing that again. I would rather probably not live somewhere with like a long, cold winter, just because I've been through that so much before. And one thing I like about living here in Arizona is we have this nice winter. I love it. So I like sunshine. I like being outside. But really, you know, I want to be thinking in terms of like, where can I channel my energy and apply my talents in a way that it will really have a good impact and help people, and see where that takes me.
Mm-hmm. Can you share some advice for the first years who like probably are going through the things that you went through last year?
Okay, so for the first year students, I would say communicate proactively with your support network. And that includes maybe especially when you're having trouble. There are times when I was struggling with something and didn't want to bother anybody or felt self-conscious, and so I didn't reach out for help, and that just makes it harder to deal with things. Also, I've found that when I'm open about, you know, this is what I really get this, and then this other thing I'm struggling with, when you let people know that, other people will feel more comfortable reciprocating also and letting you know, like, oh, well, I'm really good at that, but I'm struggling with this. Mm-hmm. And so for building strong connections and working well as a team, as a community, I think that communicating about how you're doing is helpful. So that's one thing. Also, this is advice that's coming from me having trouble with this, but learn to say no to things, because I don't do that very well, and sometimes I overcommit, and then it's hard. I don't know, it's tricky, but I think that if you can sort of recognize there's a limit to what you're going to be able to accomplish in any period of time, and then be strategic about what kind of commitments you make, so that for the things that matter, you can really give it appropriate effort. And the things that don't matter so much, well, give those appropriate effort too. But in that case, appropriate means not so much. Mm-hmm. Again, it's advice coming from something that I've struggled with, but try to maintain a work-life balance. It's easier said than done. I feel like I don't do that very well. For me, I feel like I'm, these days, working around the clock, and I don't have very much time for swimming and playing piano and just hanging out. But it seems like some people in our class do better with that. Like, they really manage to do well enough in school without sacrificing too much the other things. And that's something I want to learn. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you're done with your graduation, how would you like your peers to remember you?
I want people to know that I'm someone they can trust, someone that they can count on to be supportive, and someone that they feel comfortable reaching out to. So, for me, I think it's partly just a question of my personality, but it's also a question of the things that I think about and value. Relationships are very important, and I don't just think about relationships in transactional terms, but also like how all of us really can have more satisfying lives and fulfill our potential better if we are nurtured by other people around us, and if in turn we are nurturing for our community. So that I want people to understand that I'm here for them, that even after we graduate and, you know, the members of our MBA class disperse, we're still a community, and I'm still committed to helping my classmates succeed.
It's very nice of you. So I just want to give you a couple minutes to kind of plug or promote something that you've been organizing for the MBA if you have.
Okay, well, one thing that comes to mind is the case question workshop that I've been helping with for Consulting Club. In the first quarter of this school year, we met almost every Friday, and we had really good turnout. It was, I think, 40 to 50 people a week came to attend, divided in two because we did two sessions every Friday. But basically, it's a chance to work through case questions like people in consulting often encounter when they're applying for consulting positions. But it's, I would say it's something that's a valuable skill for anyone who's in a business school, not just for people who are interested in consulting. Basically, in case questions, it's like you're given a consulting project in miniature form, condensed so that the whole thing will take maybe 20 to 45 minutes. So typically you'll be presented with a business scenario and then expected to ask questions, look at data, come up with some hypotheses to explain what might be going on, and then recommend some courses of action. And they really vary in terms of the work involved, industry, but it's just a great way to learn. And especially if you, as the listener, are like me, someone who enjoys puzzles and also enjoys the social aspect of interacting and trying to figure things out with a group, it's a lot of fun. And I think it's also a good way to develop business acumen, just brush up on the basic arithmetic and develop self-confidence.
Okay. So thank you very much for being on our show.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah. If you want to give out your social media handles where people can get in touch with you, you can do that.
Okay. Well, I'm Dustin Vial, and my LinkedIn URL is linkedin.com/in/my name, Dustin Vial. I'm also on Facebook and Wandering the Halls of McCord.
Nice. Again, thank you for being with us. And that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And goodbye.
Thank you.
Apart from being an ideal student, he's also a great orator. I love to listen to him talk when he's presenting something in class. Dustin, we are lucky to have you in our cohort. Thank you so much for listening. We are on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, etc. I will see you in the next one. Goodbye and peace.